Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to have you on this new year, January the 5th, 2020. We're going to be looking at seeking, wanting, and of course, missing. We'll talk about why most of us have a little difficulty with our efforts to spiritually awaken, if that is even a deal for you. For most people, it's not. It's a philosophical, unnecessary thing, but this is the way we are as a world. But yet there are some of us, I'm sure maybe like you, listening to me. I don't know why else you'd be listening if you weren't interested in some way about finding the way, the truth, and the light that lives within you. So we're going to take a look at that. I want to thank my sponsors for being sponsors. I want to thank those of you who donated during the holiday seasons to make Aspire happen. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Yesterday, I had an instance where your donations changed a person's life. For just a moment, there was a glimmer of loving kindness in their life as your donations made it possible for them to have food for the holidays and some clothing that was deeply needed. This all happened through our BATMO project. And I want to thank those of you who were kind enough, generous enough, and wise enough to make all this happen through your tax-deductible gifts. You never know. And as I saw this all unfolding before my very eyes, I looked inside at you, all of you, who, you know, make donations and do kind things for human beings. And kindness is unexpected. Most people just don't expect there to be much kindness in this world, and rightfully so. And when your donations came to a point where you did something way out of the box for someone you'll never know, you have no idea what that meant to this family and the tears of gratitude that poured. So I want to thank those of you who did make those donations and made all this possible. And I was fortunate enough to be there when it all happened. And wow. What a wonderful thing to help people. I think it's one of the most enriching aspects of my work is to see someone benefit from the goodness of my donors' hearts. And I really feel that that's important. Okay, let's take a look here. I have three wonderful questions for you that are recent. I thought this to be a very interesting seeking, wanting, and missing the whole thing. If a person really wants to seek the way, the truth, and the light, many people don't. They don't see the value of it. Let me read you the questions. First one comes from Ron in Ohio, and he listens to us there, and he says, how does one really seek the truth? And what is the truth that we would seek that seems to be elusive to most of us, in your opinion, Ron? Ron, first of all, I never give my opinion. And if I do, I say this is a Greg Penn opinion based on no truth whatsoever. I want you to understand that. So I can only speak from the part of me that has had the direct experience of whatever it is I'm talking about. So please understand that and be ye aware of that. Okay, so how does one really seek the truth? That's your basic question. You have to want it with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, as Jesus said. Buddha talked about it in the measure of it has to be the totality of a person's life. And if it is not, if love is not the totality, if the seeking is not the totality of a person's life, then all you have is what the body can provide. And the body provides very little in proportion to what is what I call immortal. The truth is that we are immortal. And in that state of being, in the part of us that never dies, we find the light, we find the love, we find the meaning, the significance of our lives and everything that we do. And I mean everything that we do. So it must be understood here. What are we really seeking? What is the truth we are seeking? Well, it is not an intellectual thing, and it can be different for every one of us, and yet it's the same for all of us. The truth is, you are love. That is the ultimate truth. You and I live and swim and breathe in a love that is greater than anything that our minds could ever conceive of, our bodies could ever experience. And when you and I understand that, when we have an inkling, oh, there is this great love that lives within, there is this great goodness that lives within, and we pursue it not with just our mind, our intellect, but we make it the lifestyle of our living. We actually make it the lifestyle of everything we do. It is the state of our livingness that we are pursuing. When we do that, we change everything, all the molecules in our body. We change everything into the light that lives within. We become the light of the world. Jesus even talked about it when he said, "Ye are the light of the world." And you are. But how can you be this light in the world when you and I are so fascinated with the darkness? The darkness of thinking there's right over wrong and good over bad and all the other nutty stuff that we like to get involved in that makes us miss the meaning of our own existence. How does one really seek the truth? With the totality of their being. But you have to want it so much that you're willing to do that one thing that is so desperately difficult to do, and that is to give up what you want. Yes. Instead of pursuing what I want all the time, I want this, I want that. Instead of making a want a need, instead of pursuing ideas and ideals and moralisms, beliefs in who is deserving and who is not, I have to give all of that up for the sake of finding the way that lives within. Now, that is not an easy thing for most people to do. It just is not. Why? Well, the survival mechanism of our DNA gets involved. And self-preservation becomes the most important thing in our life. And then before you know it, that's all we're doing, is living for self-preservation. And we have all sorts of rules and beliefs and theories about self-preservation, and we just get involved in that, and we miss the totality of what it is to seek love. How does one seek love? How is that done? Is that done through emotion? No. No, if I'm emotional, I'll miss it entirely. No. You find love by living deep within yourself, by no longer pursuing emotionality, pursuing desire, ambition, and pride. Buddha talked about this over and over and over again with all of us, that it was in our desires, our desire for anything that made us miss the opportunity, as it were, Ron, to know the truth that would set us free. So, if you really want to seek the truth, you have to go beyond the ideals of comfort and security, of right and wrong, good and bad. You have to go beyond the belief in what is right and what is wrong. You have to be able to see the field, as I say. If you step back, it's the most amazing feeling. It is the most amazing thing. It's a real experience, and anyone can have it. Believe me, if I can do it, anyone can do it. When you step back and you are no longer a part of the belief system that makes up what you think of as right and wrong, good and bad. When you and I can step so far back, we can recognize the infinite that lives within and all around. Now, my human perceptions look at it and become deeply frightened. But if you stay with it, and how you do this is through meditation, if you stay with it, everything falls into place. And then you see there is no reason to feel any sense of fear at all. But here's the rub. You have to trust in the goodness of your nature. If you do not trust, Ron, in the goodness of your nature, all of this will fall apart. And you will be left to the pedestrian mentality. And I can't say enough about that. It's very painful and leads nowhere. So meditate. Begin your practice with meditation. Begin looking at yourself not as just a human being, but as a spiritual being. Don't be looking for what is comfortable and right and cozy and all that other stuff. Seek what is authentic. Want what is real. And as I always say to my students, let love live you. I hope that helps you, dear one. Great question. Happy New Year to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from his name is, I think, Pete. I couldn't tell. This came, believe it or not, in handwritten form, so this is very rare. It says, I want. There are things I absolutely want in my life. I want normalcy, he said. Is that seeking, Pete? No, Pete. You can't be normal and be a seeker. Can't be done. Won't be done. Seeking requires uniqueness. Seeking requires compassion. Seeking requires a different kind of mind. A mind no longer trying to make things fit the logic and reasoning, in my case, of old Gregory Penn. No, it can't fit my genetics. I found that if you give up your genetics, I have found if I gave up mine, if I gave up my desire for right over wrong, good over bad, if I gave up my reasonability, what I thought of as the norm of a Greg, then something of the other shore started to come to me. I couldn't tell if, really, to be honest with you, if it came to me or I went to it, I couldn't tell. I have to realize, Pete, the futility of my thinking, the way my mind works. It's futile. It's silly. Actually, it's childish. And it serves no other purpose but to itself. It's parochial, to say the least, my mind. I don't know about your mind, but I'm describing the one Greg has. That mind I use to not injure myself by opening up a can or making my breakfast or whatever it is I'm doing. I'm not allowed to have knives, but and that's a joke. But I use that parochial mind that I have for simple, common, daily things that must be done, making my bed, etc., that kind of thing. But I don't live in that parochial mind. I use it for what it's worth, for what I have, and then I move on from there to this other place. And once you meditate and you start to get in the rhythm, because it is a rhythm you get into, your whole being shines. And you see it in other people. Even your greatest enemy, you can see their being hidden, tucked away in there. And the only reason they are the way they are is because they don't know how beautiful they truly are. Because they use their minds in very difficult ways. Ways that do not persevere in loving kindness. So the reason I want is because I don't know how to seek. The reason people want is because they're insecure about themselves, their life, what's going on in their life. They're insecure about whether or not they're going to have food on the table or be able to survive or find comfort or shelter. So the thing to do, we believe, is to want. The more you want, the more initiative you will have to do the things that help you get what you want. But I have learned this, Pete, and I'm going to say this to you. I rarely say these things in public. The things that make us do and accomplish the things that we want are often those things that become our hindrances in our karma. We say or we do things that are absolutely terrible. We say and do things that are against the beauty of love itself. We just do and do and do and say and say and say, and we eventually get what we want at the cost of our soul. And we miss the meaning of our own existence in living in that way. And there is nothing I can do or say to another person to get them to understand what that is all about. It's just painful. It's just deeply painful. So if you want to stay where you are inwardly, then pursue what you want. But that is not seeking. If you want to be an authentic seeker, you must do as the Buddha said. You must want nothing with all of your heart. Now that is a whole entire different way of living. And it is something that most people are turned off by, don't want anything to do with, and can't understand. Not even remotely can they understand what that means. But it is true. You must want nothing, no thingness, with all of your heart. And should that occur in you? Should you be privy to that in some way? I'll tell you something, really, Pete. Something beautiful unfolds in you. You know how you have your everyday self, that kind of mundane, low hum, brute force kind of living, where the only thing that matters is what you get, what you have, that brute force kind of thing. The whole idea is to conquer the world, that kind of craziness. Well, it is replaced by the simplicity of the light, of the heart, of the tone of love. And you find a great beauty beginning to maturate in your life. Something so magnificent that it can't be explained. So I go with the Buddha. You have to want nothing, absolutely nothing, with all of your heart. And should that arise in you, something magnificent will arise within you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question is from our friend Kay in Los Angeles. She always writes me wonderful questions. Why is working, desiring, and wanting different than seeking? Because in our working, our desiring, we put a egotistical twist on it. There is a plan, as it were, for all of us through our karma. Our karma sets a path for us. Everybody thinks that I talk to that karma is a bad thing. Oh, you're going to get your karma. It's not like that at all. But there is a karma that sets your path. And should I want to alter my karma to the path I want, I make that path even more difficult than it was ever going to be. So when I want more than what is happening now, I make a tremendous mistake in my life. Seeking is about understanding, comprehending what the meaning of my life is in proportion to all of the things that are most important to my living, which is to face loving kindness right in the face, as it were, to have that great energy inside for the sake of a love that is far more powerful than whatever the body can render. So you start looking at life from an entirely different point of view. You start looking at life from the pulsation of a goodness that lives within you that is happening each and every moment of your life. And instead of resenting what's going on or thinking what is going on isn't fair or whatever, I start to realize, oh, all of this is like a perfect puzzle fitting together. Fitting together and making a tapestry of tremendous beauty in my life. There is a path for each and every one of us. We have built this path in past lives, all of us. This path is to love. It isn't to hell. It isn't to heaven. It is to love itself. And should you and I get on that path and decide that that path is deeply important to our living, that is when something of the other shore starts to show up in our daily life. I've found this to be so true in my own life. I've given up Greg. He knows not what he does, and he's a complete idiot. And I look at him, and I'm grateful that I have the chance to live beyond him. He has given me many, many karmas in the course of many past lifetimes, and I am willing to listen to that energy, that higher call of life, that higher beauty of life that exceeds whatever it is that he thinks he wants and needs. You must have that same thing, Kay. Seeking requires consistency in your practice, authenticity in your living, a genuineness that most people don't understand exists within them. You can't keep betraying yourself for the sake of trying to get what you want. It's more important not to betray yourself with hate and fear, with willfulness. It is important to listen to that still small voice inside that is telling you how to live in each and every moment in compassion, in forgiveness, in love. And should you be willing to do that, that's when the magic happens. That's when the beauty occurs. That's when goodness and mercy enter into our life. And they are the most important qualities, goodness and mercy, in this world. I hope that helps you, Kay. Hope it serves you very well. And thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next weekend. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.